Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And today we are finishing up the fight between, or I guess it's more of a spar.
Yeah, that's what I have in my notes,
sparring. The sparring between Gurney Halleck and Paul Atreides. Last minute, we ended with Paul getting the absolute shit knocked out of him and knocked down to his knees by a thrust to the gut from Gurney Halleck. Thankfully, Paul had his shield activated, though, so the worst that he's got is probably just a little bit of soreness right now. We start this minute with Paul with a kind of a wider shot over Gurney's shoulder, looking down at Paul as Paul is very clearly pissed off that he's been, you know, knocked down. He is ready to strike back at his trainer. I guess trainer would be the appropriate. Paul's a lot more agile now, I've noticed, than he was before. And I think that's thanks to him having the two smaller blades in his hands rather than the one larger sword that he was. Carrying before. And in all fairness, it wasn't even that large to begin with. Like, it was more like a machete length than an actual sword, but
like a 2 foot blade, something like that.
He's a little more nimble, is the point here. So much so that he, through faster movements, is able to best Gurney and knock him to the ground.
Gets a good leg sweep in.
Great leg sweep and just pulls him flat on his back.
Yeah, and a pretty iconic line from the books here. He goes, "I have you." And then Gurney responds, "Aye, but look down, my lord. You to join me in death."
As Gurney's sword is in Paul's rib cage.
So Paul's gotten his double small blades like right at Gurney's neck through the shield. And then Gurney's blade is pressed up against, looks like the bottom of his rib cage.
Yeah.
Like on his side. Like a good kidney shot, I guess.
Would be enough to,
clear
absolutely. Him from the board.
Absolutely. Good sparring scenes. They break that up and stand up. Gurney responds with, "I see you found the mood." Always a one-liner from Halleck.
From our poet himself.
Yeah.
I'd like to shout out Glow Globe number 3.
Heck yeah.
Holding it down.
It's doing the work again.
They deactivate both of their shields at this point, and like the shield, like dissipation looks really cool.
Yeah, but they kind of go blurry for a second as it comes down.
And then Paul just straight up asks Gurney, "Is it going to be that bad?" And you know, talking about what we were talking about a couple episodes ago with Gurney's history with the Harkonnens and everything, and how he knows how cruel they can be.
Yep.
Gurney, you know, gives the audience in this case, who doesn't know all of this backstory and everything, just the line of, "You don't get it, do you? You really can't, you really don't understand the grave nature of what's happening to us." Mm-hmm. For 80 years, Arrakis had belonged to House Harkonnen, 80 years of owning the spice fields. Can you imagine the wealth? And we talked about before how the Spacing Guild is a business that purchases the spice because they need it to be able to sell their services.
Yep.
And spice is used in a bunch of other different applications across this universe as well. But I would imagine if you had to like break down who is buying spice by like percentages.
Oh, I'm sure.
The Spacing Guild's probably like what, like 95%?
Sure. Something. They're the biggest customer for sure. I thought it was fun that, go ahead.
I was just going to say, or finish out what he says here with, "I need to see it in your eyes. You've never met the Harkonnens before. I have. They're not human. They're brutal."
Yep.
"You have to be ready."
Yeah.
So
Gurney's explanation of what's going on, like with the family, is a lot more realistic than his father's explanation. His father was approaching this from more of the like political machinations type of view.
Sure.
Gurney's like, there's going to be some shit that goes
you're
down.
You're going to fucking die probably.
So I think that's a good contrast of like how the different players in Leto's like inner circle are seeing or viewing what's happening to them.
Yeah.
Gurney's like, just fucking get ready, man. Like, get ready to fight. Shit's going to go down. Leto's like, I think we're going to be in a lot of meetings.
We're going to have to sit and and like listen to a lot of people talk.
Yeah. It seems like he's prepping Paul for the worst when no one else really is.
I mean, he's seen how bad it can get though. So
I wanted to sprinkle in a little bit of a, where we are in the books kind of thing.
Sure.
Here. So after the sparring, we don't exactly get this conversation between Gurney and Paul. We get something that's a little more, it shows off Paul's like, well-to-do-ness a little bit more. He's a little bit more of an uppity teen, in the books, at least in this moment he is. He's more concerned. He's like, was Gurney really trying to hurt me then? He's like, that was like intense. Like it was a very intense moment. And he goes, he's like, my father would have been very upset if you'd have hurt me or, you know, scarred me.
Sure.
And Gurney responds with an equally, you know, funny line. He goes, your father would only have been upset with me if I've not trained you to be the best fighter there was. So equally, I was paraphrasing there, but sure. Equally like a good, like one liner out of it. You get the rest of that story, like what they said in the movie, you get that in the books, via like internal dialogue.
Okay.
I guess internal monologue. There's not two people talking.
If with, there is, you got other problems.
Within each of us, there are two Gurney Hallecks.
I could be your Gurney or I could be your Duncan.
Yeah. So via thought, in the books.
Sure.
We get a lot of the same story that they said out loud in the movies. But, yeah, it's just, I thought it was interesting that Paul was more concerned, not with like their situation, but more just with like the, oh, he was really trying to hurt me.
we reference a lot of the Lynch movie and stuff on this podcast just because we can. But it's so funny, like going back and forth between this movie and that movie, where that movie is like half of the movie is internal.
Yes.
Monologuing and like internal thoughts. Whereas like everything here is either explained in conversation or like exposition, like with the last, the slow blade penetrates the shield, but like, Not a lot of internal thoughts are going on here.
Yeah. The story that I've heard on that is that they originally had like a lot of movie filmed where they didn't have to have all that internal dialogue.
Yeah.
Studios made them cut out so much of the movie. They had to go back and do like voiceovers to explain the things that they made them cut out. So, in a weird way, it works because there is a lot of that like internal thoughts that you get to read in the books.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff does happen, via those thoughts.
But that's also a book where
you're that does not necessarily translate into a movie at all.
Yeah.
So, that's all the notes that I had on this minute. I think we cut right after the conversation. We our minute ends.
Yeah. We see, that really intense moment between Paul and Gurney, and I think it's intense because not in a way that Gurney is like upset or mad at Paul, but more just like Gurney really needs Paul to understand just how fucked everything is.
Yeah.
And as we saw earlier, like Leto doesn't want to spill all the bad news in front of, I almost said all the bad beans.
Don't spill all the bad beans.
All the bad beans. spill all the bad news to his son. But clearly Gurney is not afraid of.
Oh yeah.
Of telling.
He's Paul, keeping it real.
Telling it like it is. Yeah. So.
Cool. Well, that is the infamous sparring scene with Paul and Gurney. One of my favorites.
You have found the movie.
Did we say the, did I mention the book quote in the last episode? Like the full book quote? Cause it's a little bit abridged.
No, we were joking about it in between episodes.
Oh, okay.
With how, like in the Lynch film, it was about how the mood was for lovemaking. And
yeah, that let's do a Wayne's World.
Let's do the super mega happy ending. Yeah.
That quote in the books is mood. What's mood got to do with it? You fight when the necessity arises, no matter the mood. Mood is a thing for cattle, lovemaking, and playing the balisette. It's not for fighting. Which I understand why they trim that down. But mood is for cattle. What a pun. What a great pun. Oh, God.
It's so good.
Gurney, he truly is a poet.
Oh,
all God. Right. Cool. Well, that's I think that's all I had for this minute. Anything else left in your notes?
Not for this minute.
All right. Cool. Well, let's meet back up tomorrow and talk about 19 through 20 of
Alrighty.
The 2021 Dune. See you then.
See you.